Y'all may be seated. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm Tony Mills, and I'm one of the elders here at New Life Fellowship. And for those of you online, relax. Today I'm going to be talking about what the Lord has talked to me about. And y'all here can relax also, unless you can identify with some of the things that God was talking to me about, okay? So first, let's pray, because I want to say so that you'll understand and the Lord will give you understanding exactly what he was saying. So Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to your people, because I realize that you love them so much that you want them to understand exactly who you are and how much love you have for them. I ask that you would enable me to be able to say what you said to me. And I thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. All right. A little about me first. You know, I'm a retired military training instructor, which means that I really like detail. And I have an educational background in science. So when I came to the Lord, him and I just didn't quite mesh. Because, you know, I had my way of doing things and my way of thinking, and God had his way of doing things and his way of thinking. And I realized that one of us had to change. Spoiler alert, it wasn't the Lord. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about, how the Lord helped me to change some of the ways that I was thinking so that it would match up more like him. Okay? So relax, because what I'm going to be talking about is what the Lord said to me. And if it applies to you, you may use that, but don't get all upset about it. Relax, okay? Can I talk to you about what the Lord was saying to me? Okay, so I'm going to do that. I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit here at New Life Fellowship. And when I did that, I learned several things. First, I learned that New Life Fellowship has a mission. And that mission has four steps. And those four steps are to the point, they're easy, and I understood them. Okay? The first one was that lost people are found. That was easy. Lost people all over the place. So I didn't have to look that far to find any. Okay? The second step was found people were miniature. Okay? I didn't know how to mentor folks when I was first baptized. You see, in the military, we didn't mentor that much. We just told people what to do. And they followed. Okay? So mentoring was a little different for me. And then the third step was after they were mentored, people were equipped. Equipping, I think I could deal with that because I was an instructor. And you instruct to equip folks. And finally, equip folks were engaged. Now, that one I had a little problem with because I couldn't figure out how to get folks engaged. But that those four steps and New Life's mission were right out of the book, right out of the Bible, because in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said this. He said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And we realized that that was Jesus' name, okay? And then he said, "Teach them," this is verse 20, "to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo," by the way, you know, my interpretation of that "lo" is, yo, listen up. This is important. Okay? So, "lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." So if you look at that passage, there's four things in it. One, go make disciples. Two, baptize them. Three, teach them. And four, I am with you. And I figured out that that last one, "I am with you," covered the other three. Because without him, I was able to do nothing. So that fourth one was important. That's where the power was, that Jesus said he was going to be with me. Not only that, he was going to be in me. And that was going to give me the power to do the other three. Okay? So that was pretty good. The process was clear, and it was straightforward, and it seemed to be easy, but I had a problem, okay? And by the way, from this point on, I'm going to be talking about me, so y'all can relax, okay? Because there was part of me that didn't quite mesh up with what Jesus was saying. And when I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I knew I had to change, but I wasn't sure how to go about doing that. And y'all say, how? Come on. How? That was my question, okay? Because I knew what, and I knew why, but I didn't know how. So I knew that it was simple, and I knew that God was asking me to do it. In fact, it was the Great Commission, and that was to go forth, go make disciples. I knew, hey, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. But the thing was that I couldn't do even the little things that God was asking me to do. Example, and some of you have heard this story before, but for those of you that haven't, I like to fish. And at that time, I had seen this new fishing pole that they came out with. It's called an ugly stick, and you can bend that thing in half, and it won't break. But there was a problem. It was expensive. So I saved up my money, and I was going to go to Academy and buy me an ugly stick. And I was sitting in my driveway in my truck, ready to go to Academy. And down the street came the garbage truck. And I heard in my mind, give that money to the garbage men. And I said, no. Well, it was my money. I saved it. And I had a purpose. You understand where my purpose and God's purpose weren't matching up? Okay? So there was something that God was trying to show me. And I sat there in the truck and I said no. And I pulled out of the driveway. And then I got this feeling right here, sort of tightened up and was uneasy. And at the time, I didn't know what it was, but later on, I found out that it was a hormone called cortisol. And for me, every time I disobeyed God, I got a shot of cortisol. Now, if you go to your doctor will tell you that cortisol is one of the chemicals that is really, really bad for us humans. It will cause heart disease. It will cause high blood pressure. It will give you ulcers. There's all kinds of things that this one chemical does. And the thing was, I had just got a shot of it. Now, that wasn't God. Don't go there. That was my body responding to what God said when my mind said no. Let me say that again. That was my body responding to God, whether I wanted it to or not, when my mind said no. So I backed up into the driveway. And I said, hey, I can't deal with this feeling I got. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and give this money. By the way, it was several hundred dollars to the garbage men. And one of the reasons I didn't want to do it was, at that time, I was working in a detox center downtown. And I knew that a lot of my clients were either sanitation workers or roofers. And my mind said, if you give them that much money, they're going to go buy some beer. That was my mind, okay? So I went ahead and I gave them the money. They were all happy and going around the truck and saying thank you and everything. And I went back and sat in my truck and stuck out my lip. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you're praying that God doesn't answer right away, but when you do something that goes against what he wants, he'll talk to you all the time. So I was sitting there in my truck, and God started talking to me. And he said, Tony, you said that you wanted to be my representative, right? And I said, yes, Lord. And he said, is it okay if I asked you to do something without telling you why? And I said, yes, Lord. And he said, do you think that I know more than you do? And I said, yes, Lord. And he said, okay, then it's all right if I asked you to do something and you don't know why and you don't know what's going on in that situation and you agree to just go ahead and do it. And I said, yes, Lord. At that moment, I did something called repentance. Now, my definition of repentance is to think differently about what just happened. Let me say that again. My definition of repentance was to think differently about what just happened. And after my conversation with God, I was thinking differently about money. At that point, I knew that I was just a steward, and God had blessed me with that money. It wasn't mine, although I thought it was. So my thinking had changed. I had repented. And at that point, God said, well, go ahead to the credit union and get the money and go buy your fishing pole. God is a rewarder of those that obey. All right? So that was just one example of how my thinking and God's thinking didn't match up about, in particular, money. Okay? So I realized that money was not the thing that I worshiped. In my life, I should have been putting God first, not the money. Okay? So that was just one thing. There were several things. And remember, I'm talking about me now, okay? Yeah, I know you all wouldn't go there, would you? Okay. All right. So what was my problem? I was believing something different than God believed. Another thing was that God asked me to do some things that I knew were right. He was sending folks to me so that I could talk to them about repentance and God's plan of salvation and things like that. And they would ask Betty and I to come over to their house and give them a Bible study. And then I was supposed to have a small group at my house. And at the same time, I was working at the Center for Healthcare Services downtown. And I had been promoted to the intake monitor for Bexar County, which means that I had a caseload that wouldn't quit. And I was responsible for contacting all the high schools in Bexar County to make arrangements for children that had disabilities to get state services. That took a lot of time. When I got home, I was worn out. And here was God asking me to do these things. So all I could hear in my mind was, ain't nobody got time for that. And the thing was that I really believed that I didn't have time to do what God was asking me to do. So let's take a look and let's unpack this thing a little bit more, okay? Time has not changed since God created the universe. There's still 24 hours in a day. There's still 7 days a week. And there's still 52 weeks in a year. That has not changed. So what was my problem? Well, you see that I was paying so much attention to the things going on around me that I had changed my priorities. And my priorities had moved God out of the way because I thought that I didn't have time to do the things that he was asking me. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. That was a lie. And the lie was, I had the same amount of time as I always had. It was my priorities that had changed. And God was kind enough to talk to me about that. And he said, Tony, you remember when you were a child and y'all got a television and that TV had 3 channels. And those 3 channels went off the air at 11 o'clock after the late show. And even the television networks knew that most folks, especially parents, went to bed at around 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Of course, you could stay up if you wanted to, but the only thing you would see on TV was that test pattern. In fact, the television networks knew that, for instance, they did a public service announcement that said, it's 9 p.m. Do you know where your kids are? Y'all remember that? So the thing was that the time hadn't changed, but the TV had changed. And God would talk to me about that TV because that was something that I needed to get a handle on. I was involved with the TV at this time, and, you know, there were so many channels that I could spend an hour just looking for the fishing channel. And you know what the bad part was? The fishing channel never went off. It stayed on all night. But I said, you know, Lord, you were the one that told me to buy that fishing pole. But I like the fishing channel, okay? And then there was, let's see, there was Netflix, and there was Hulu, and then there was the game show channel, and the comedy channel, and the car channel. I really liked that one. And the Discovery channel. Oh, you can learn all kind of stuff from that. And then there was the cooking channel. You know, I thought I really needed that smokeless grill that you could do in the house. I saw it on the cooking channel. And then there was the, let's see. Ooh, I had to get my news, and there was CNN and NBC and FOX, all those news outlets, and the BBC. And I really liked that animal channel and that good doctor. What was his name, Dr. Poe? Yeah, I really liked him. And then there was the Weather Channel. Because well, these hurricanes we're having, got to be up on the Weather Channel. And then there was TNN and Sundance, just in case I had some time to watch an old movie. You know, but y'all don't do that. And I knew in the back of my mind that the airways were doing something to my life. And then God said, look at Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And I said, okay, Lord, let me read it to you. And it says, and you he made alive. And I said, thank you, Lord. Okay, I know that was me. Who were dead in sin, in trespasses and sins. No doubt. That's true. And verse 2, in which you were once walked according to the course of this world. Yes, I did. Okay. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Wait a minute. Let's back up for a second here. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
whoa, was Paul telling me to get rid of my TV? See, I did something that y'all would never do. I jumped to a conclusion, okay? I jumped to a conclusion without waiting to hear what God was saying about what was written in the Bible, okay? So the Lord wasn't finished talking to me, and he said, you know, how about Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and the web? And I said, Lord, you mean you want me to get rid of my phone? So I said, okay, Betty, give me your phone. We're going off the grid. Because the devil's in the box. But y'all wouldn't think that way, okay? So the thing is that what the Lord was trying to show me was that the devil, prince of the power of the air, was stealing my time. And I had agreed to let him do it. So when I said, I don't have enough time to do those things that you want me to do, Lord, was I telling the truth? Or was I repeating the lie that the prince of the air had given me? I truly believed that I didn't have enough time. But we know now that time hasn't changed. It's the same. So what has changed is my priorities. Okay? Now there's something that I want you to get now. Let's take time to unpack this time thing. Okay? The bottom line was, I was too engaged to get engaged. Let me say that again. I was too engaged to get engaged. And that was number four on the list, remember? That to get engaged, that's what I was supposed to be doing. But the thing is, I didn't know how. Okay? What the Lord wanted me to do was the Great Commission, but I believed that I didn't have time for that. So I asked the Lord, okay, how am I going to do this? And in fact, y'all repeat that. How am I going to do this? I'm glad you asked, okay? That's what we're going to talk about. Now, the thing was, I knew that God loved lost folks, and he needed my help in order to reach them. But the thing was, I believed that I didn't have enough time to do that. Once God talked to me, I figured that, well, yeah, there is time to do that. I just need to prioritize the time that I have. And I knew that where I was working, they didn't recognize. If I went in and I said, look, supervisor, I want to go reach the world for Jesus. So I need some time off and I want you to keep paying me. What do you think they would say? No, I'm paying you to do a job, okay? Or they may say, oh, you're going on a mission trip. Well, I'll see you when you get back, but I'm not going to pay you for it. So how was I supposed to match what God wanted and what the corporate world wanted, okay? God told me something about the corporate world. He said that time is important to corporations. And I'm lumping the Air Force into that corporation thing. Time is important to them, okay? And Colossians 4:5 gave me a hint on how to deal with the corporate world and even the Air Force. It said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Okay, what does that mean? Walk in wisdom with them that are without. That's folks on the outside, not us Christians. Walk in wisdom with them and redeem the time. Now, I knew that time was something that I needed to redeem, but I didn't know how to do it. Okay? So, why would the corporate world be so interested in time? And I know you all know the answer, because time is money. Okay? And I couldn't redeem the time and ask them to spend their money. Okay? But I did know that public relations was important to almost every corporate entity, including the military. Public relations was money. They spent a lot of money advertising, saying that they support, public relations and the communities. They asked their folks to get involved in the community. In fact, in Matthew 10:16, there was a hint. It said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, the corporate world. Okay? How many of y'all saw the wolf of Wall Street? Okay? That was true. They are concerned with money. Okay? And then the second part, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How are we going to do that? Well, how many of you have heard of the House of Mercy? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you have, but a lot of you have not. See, the House of Mercy is a 501c3 that we have here at New Life Fellowship, okay? And the House of Mercy is an organization that is recognized by the Internal Revenue Service as a community service agency. It was designed to serve widows, fatherless children, and strangers that are at risk of being homeless or without food or clothing. Now, does that sound like something that a corporate entity would support? Yes, you can't buy advertising like that. Especially if you take pictures of your folks serving that community. Okay? So, let me give you the rest of the story. The House of Mercy was created by New Life Fellowship to reach the lost, to baptize them, to let them know about life and more life. That's what the House of Mercy does. Now, are you going to go tell your employer that, well, I need time off so that I can spread God's word and tell folks about life, more life, and new life? Or would you tell them that I would like time off so that I could do community service with the House of Mercy? that is a 501c3 sanctioned by the Internal Revenue Service that supports community and community services. Do you know what your job, or do you know what the military's corporate policy is for community service? I think that even in the military, if you do community service, they will put that in your efficiency report, that you represent the military by doing community service. Do you ever see those pictures on TV about the folks in uniform that are helping clean up after a hurricane or something? That's good advertising. Most corporations will, they'll actually put that in their budget. Now, the question is, do you think God designed that so that what they intended as profit that God could use to redeem the time for his folks? You know, think about that for a minute. Because God said that he would redeem the time. You know, there's the same amount of time since creation. But what I found was that I was changing my priorities based on the things that were going on around me. And I moved God from number one down the list because I thought I didn't have enough time. That was a lie that I believed. So what God did was talk to me and say, hey, I'll redeem the time. You just got to go ask. There's always something or some place that you can serve. In fact, Diet, would you stand, please? Diet's the church secretary. And she will take your name and telephone number and have somebody call you about all of the services that are available here at New Life Fellowship, including the House of Mercy. Because the House of Mercy does several things. Did you know that they have folks that go downtown every week and feed the homeless? They call it feeding God's goodness. In fact, the House of Mercy is getting ready to have 3 mobile food pantries here in the church parking lot. One before Thanksgiving, one before Christmas, and one in January. And the House of Mercy probably needs about 65 folks in order to staff those mobile food pantries. And here's the kicker. 300 to 500 families are going to show up at each one of those events. And I believe that as soon as they drive onto the parking lot, they're going to feel the presence of God. Because I already know that the prayer team is going to be checking in the cars. And the prayer team is going to be prayed up, and out of their belly is going to flow rivers of living water besides the food that they're going to give away. And then there's the parking lot team. And then there's the team that's going to unload the trucks. And then there's the team that's going to sort the food and the team that's going to actually bag it and put it into the cars for the folks. All of those folks are going to be ministering. And what did Jesus ask us to do? He asked us to minister to the lost. So we're going to have an opportunity to minister to about 1,500 folks by the end of the year, or January. So for me, I don't have an excuse, because I know now that, yes, I do have the time. I am no longer believing that lie that Satan gave to me, that I don't have the time. I'm going to shift my priorities so that I can do what God has asked me to do. But remember, I'm talking about me. Y'all relax. I know you wouldn't go there. Okay? Now, so we've established that Satan lied to us and that we have enough time to do what our priorities are. The only problem is matching our priorities with God's priorities. Okay? And I knew when I was making the excuses that I was too engaged to get engaged. But that was my decision. That was not something that somebody gave me. I had to be as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove in dealing with the folks out there and recognizing that their priorities might be money, but God could redeem that time. Do y'all understand what I was saying? I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about y'all. So the thing is that if you're having a problem dealing with time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come on down front, and the prayer team's going to come, and they're going to pray with you so that God will give you the understanding that He will redeem your time. Okay? But that's all I have, and I'm going to bless y'all, and you can go if you have to, because I realize that maybe time's short for you. But okay. But I really would like that you would come on down front and let us pray together that God will give us all the understanding that we can set our own priorities, and that God will redeem the time for us only if we ask. So bless y'all in Jesus' name, and thank you. All right.